On this episode of the Real Life Caddy podcast, myself and Neil are joined by fellow real life caddy, Justin Kippener. Kip has been caddying for years and he's one of my favourite storytellers. It also felt about time we had an episode dedicated to good old fashioned caddy stories. I know you'll enjoy what Kip has to share, especially the story about the Dutch Prince. We also spend some time discussing the golf from last weekend. The star-studded event seems to have been very successful and most of the feedback has been very positive. As always, we have a look at the mailbag and give out a few notable mentions. Please check out glorifieddonkey.com for all of our latest news and get across to the YouTube channel to check out our latest video, The Top 10 Worst Haircuts in Golf. We really appreciate your time and please rate, review and share the podcast. You can always go back into the archives and listen to previous episodes, but for now, I really hope you enjoy this one.
Hey man, can you help me with my golf swing?
Oh yeah.
I got this little problem. I got the hooking the ball.
Maybe you can help me with my problem on a Saturday night.
Hello and welcome to another Real Life Caddy podcast. I am here with Wee Neil.
What's up, Big G? How you doing, bud?
Very well, thank you. Wee Neil with the big feet, by the way. Just found out that Wee Neil has flippers. He's a size 11 and a half.
You know, didn't see that one coming, did you?
We're also joined by our fellow friend and caddy, Mr. Justin Kippener, who goes by Kip.
Okay. Thank you for having me, gentlemen.
All right, buddy.
Excited about this.
Good to have you. We need some new juice here. New juice.
Yeah, exactly.
Juice it up.
Kip, tell me, how long have you been caddying?
14 years now.
14 years?
14 wonderful years.
14. Any holes in one?
One hole in one.
Have you seen one? Caddy for one or played? You didn't see?
Well, I have one myself.
You've won yourself?
Long boy, 196 yards into a gale force wind, 3-wood.
Okay.
Hit it right off the heel, but about 10 feet off the ground, one hopped in the cup. Drinks went down.
Nice. Excellent. One. So, hole in one. Best score ever?
74.
Okay.
I think. You know what? That's actually... I have to think. I
74.
Think it's 74.
Was that the front nine or the back nine?
Come on now.
Hey. Handicap?
10.
10. Okay. Lovely job. We'll get more. We're going to be basically, we normally start with stories in the podcast, as any regular listener knows. We're going to be talking a lot more about stories in the main section of the podcast. What we're going to do is we're going to start off by talking about the match. Right? That was the match two that was on Sunday.
Yeah, that was good. I really enjoyed that. Yeah.
So Neil watched it. Kip, did you watch it?
Yeah, I took it in. I thought it was a little better than I was expecting it to be.
I think that was the consensus from everyone.
Yeah, well, they, even amongst horrible weather, they persevered. I mean, they didn't really seem to bother them too much, which was cool.
Nice. We did get one comment. This was quite funny, right? Tom Brady's nutrition and training business is called TB12. Yeah, Tom Brady 12. Mm-hmm. Basing things on what he shot last Sunday, he should probably change it to TB106. What were the quality of the golf, boys? Was it?
You know
what you were expecting?
I absolutely enjoyed seeing Brady just
tank.
I'll be nice. Struggle. He was hitting it everywhere. Those first six holes, he I don't think he finished a hole. And then he had that miracle hole out shot that was hilarious with the banter with Charles Barkley.
I think it's surprising that you didn't enjoy seeing that. Being a Patriots fan yourself.
Oh, yeah, die hard. Go Steelers.
Okay, that's starting to level up now. I get it.
I was enjoying it, believe me, until that hole out, damn it.
He either didn't finish a hole in the front nine or he didn't win a hole. So his scorecard read XO, 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 and maybe he thought it was tic-tac-toe match.
Yeah.
Message the wife and the kids.
Yeah. Not pretty easy to keep score there.
What about Manning?
I thought he was pretty solid, man.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kip?
Yeah, I thought he played really well. I mean, he made a couple of really good long putts that, you know, kept him and pushed him into the lead. So, you know, he's real consistent. His game seems to be, maybe it's because he's retired now, but he seems to be, you know, ready for the links a little more than Mr. Brady was at that point.
Yeah. Maybe some stiffer shafts.
I agree. He looked a little
snappy.
It looked like a good swing, but a little loose, huh?
And it was real short also, you know. You notice maybe because his neck's fused or something. Yeah. Like he wasn't 18 getting
it times.
Like, yeah. I mean, he wasn't really getting it really high up there. Really short and compact, so doesn't lead to mistakes.
But I think it's, you can really say, though, I think he played better than DJ did the previous week. I think he would have beat him.
That's a fact.
I think he shot better than 76.
Comparative to driving for relief, way better,
Way better.
Bit of banter.
Yeah, great banter. I mean, they felt like just the average friends going out and that kind of banter, you know? Like, they already know what's coming and all that.
Yeah.
I felt Brady was kind of weak on the trash and talking aspect.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt kind of forced and cheesy, where Peyton and Phil were natural trash talkers.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. You actually, they're the chatty ones. McPhil did a couple of tips, and he gave some really good pointers, and I think that's what Tiger was missing, and I think that's what last week was missing. Myself and Neil are actually going to be going out and doing a new YouTube series coming up, so make sure and go to the Glorified Donkey YouTube channel and subscribe, because we're going to be actually helping amateurs to improve. There's 6 million people in the US watched that last Sunday, most of which were amateur golfers. And McPhil is out there and actually explaining shots, where he's what he's trying to do, what club he's hitting, how he's going to try and land it, etc. That's what it's about.
It was pretty impressive. He'd be a good caddy, actually.
Yeah.
He's got a career ahead of him. if that golf thing doesn't work out.
Do you think the Brady and Woods, just the personalities came through, that they're not trash talkers, they don't really care? Or
Tiger had a couple of good ones. Phil asked him on one hole, he said, Phil's like punching out of the weeds or something, and he's hitting this third shot like 100 yards away. And Phil goes to Tiger, "Hey, could you mark that ball for me?" And Tiger's like, "Oh, really, dude? I'm gonna go up and mark it." He goes, "Do you want me to use one of my U.S. Open coins?"
That was
a good one.
That's a good one.
That shut him up.
I missed that one. Customized carts were sweet, boys. Yeah, did you see that?
They were very nice.
Which one would you have personally?
No question, Tigers.
Yeah,
that was looking like a nice ride.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I enjoyed Tigers. I mean, it's just the color scheme, everything. It's just...
It looked pretty sharp.
You know, that red was pretty
hot. We were trying to find out how much it auctioned for. I was guessing, like, probably $300,000 was my guess, right?
You think it went for that much?
Seriously? I bet you did.
Come on.
Someone spent $260,000 on just a private putting lesson with him. I'd rather have the golf cart for that much.
Wow.
I'd rather have a Lamborghini.
Okay, well, who knows, dude?
I bid $50 to go and have pancakes at the Waffle House with them.
You'd probably get lucky.
Do you think there were any side bets amongst the boys? A little bit, of, you know?
I guarantee you Tiger and Phil had something between both of them.
Yeah,
I agree.
Phil is a known course gambler.
Yeah.
Allie, Phil ain't playing golf without gambling at some level, either winning money or... You know, prize money or gambling for sure, if there's no prize money.
Okay. Yeah. Just to finish it off, do you think the match, was it good for golf, or is it could have been done better?
I thought it was great for golf. Yeah, I mean, one of the highlights for me was that the deal, I think it was the 16th hole, par 3, and they had Russell Wilson come on, right? And he's always doing good stuff up in Seattle for fundraisers, charity, and all that. He comes on, and he says, anyone that hits it within 12 feet, I'm going to donate 100,000 meals to the greater Seattle area. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really, Russell? No one's even hit it 12 feet all day. This is a joke, right? Mm-hmm. First guy, 8 feet, stuffs it. I think it's Brady.
Yeah.
Second guy, I think it's Phil, stuffs it. 6 feet. Peyton Manning comes up, almost hits a hole in one. He hits it like 2 feet. And Russell's just like, oh jeez. He goes, come on, Tiger, show me. So Tiger's the only one that didn't get it within 12 feet. Okay. That's crazy, though, huh? But I thought that was great. 300,000 meals there, right?
So I noticed that when the Nielsen ratings came in for it, it did a 5.6 on cable TV during quarantine, where people are, you know, there's not a lot of sport on. 5.6 was the highest golf rating on cable
ever
in the history of that sport.
Yeah, yeah.
So it showed that people were interested in it. It, you know, drew in an audience, and for a great cause. If they do this moving forward and we can better, you know, whatever community needs help or whatever is going on in the world, I mean, this is a boon for the game.
Yeah, $20 million, huh?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Well, there's talk. I guess Mickelson says that he wants to make this a yearly event. which is kind of funny now that he's 48 and probably no longer going to compete. But he's certainly a brandable guy. Justin Wallace, our pal, actually texted me and said that somebody at his club is a PGA Tour sponsor. And he said that what Phil does before a pro-am is ask for the bios and the amateurs he's playing with so that when they meet him,
he's familiar.
He knows
least,
exactly
huh?
who they are.
That's good.
Would you rather watch the old school Skins games with old Freddie Couples winning every year? Or would you want to watch the match that we've seen the last two go-rounds?
I'd rather watch the match we've seen the last two go-rounds.
Nah,
more the latter than
Fred,
the...
You know what I mean? Hall of Famer, you know? 36 Skins games.
The Skins games are fun, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that anything else to add in that, the match? Success. Nice to see.
Absolutely. I liked it.
No Super. One else? We, Neil, you didn't watch the Bundesliga? No?
I didn't watch the Bundesliga, guy.
Okay. There's still time.
Yeah, I'll watch the replay.
What is that?
Okay, well, we'll move on. This episode, I never mentioned it. This episode is called Shooting the BS. So
there we go.
That's going to be the... we're going to be talking caddy stories in the next segment. Four! As I say, we have our good friend Kip here, which, you know, thanks for... giving your opinion in the match. Caddying for 14 years, huh?
Yes, sir.
From Canada, with that accent, yeah?
Come on now. Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Oh, out.
God's country. Out.
Pretty close. Yeah. Pretty close to Canada.
Yeah, swim across the river there.
Is there much golf up there?
You got about 3-4 months of the year. Well, yeah. This is the way the golf works in the Midwest. You have 6 months of playable weather. The first maybe 3 weeks... when the snow melts away, you're able to play. Great. Then you have the hatch of the bugs. You can't play in the mosquito.
Hatch of the bugs.
You can't play
like
in
a
the
ceremony?
Yeah.
Up there, so, they probably have a drink.
So then you have mosquito black fly. Those will finally die off. You have a nice little sweet period for about 2 weeks. Uh-huh. And then it starts getting cold and you have to wear gloves and you're fighting it to the end. So that's the Midwest way of playing golf.
It's a tight window then, huh?
Yes. Very much so.
All right. Midwest, eh? Now, people are always telling us their favourite episodes are caddy stories when we're telling stories about ourselves. So we've known Kip for a long time. He's a good storyteller. I should have mentioned since the last 2 months we went to Nevada to do the podcast.
Yeah.
We were down in a cave in Big Sur.
Yeah.
We were at my place. We're actually up at the gazebo again.
Nice.
Nice fresh air. So if anyone can hear that in the background, it's not my breath. We're up in the gazebo.
That's not the hot airbag, Gordon.
No, that's... Kip, tell me, injuries in the golf course, that's one thing that I remember you telling me a story a couple of years ago about people getting injured.
I wasn't caddying at the point, but I was playing in the group.
Okay.
So this is this charity golf event where, you know, it's four-man teams, it's best ball, one-man best ball, and you're going through it, and there's a long par five. It's, you know, 550, 560.
Yeah.
And they had this gigantic rubber band. Like, you could take this rubber band, pull it way back, and put your golf ball in there, and fire it out, and that would be your drive. The thing would fire at 350, 400 yards.
Nice.
So, you know, you give your $20, $25, whatever it was, and you use this rubber band as your drive. I mean, everybody's taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
Because it was on a stroke hole for most individuals.
Of course.
So... the gentleman in our group, he grabs the rubber band and he was sitting like the rubber band. He was sitting with his butt on the ground with his legs spread open because you had to pull the rubber band back.
Like he was giving birth.
Yes.
Spread eagle.
And it would fire through like a cannon tube out into the fairway.
Okay.
So the guy's going in and he's really leaning back. He's like, oh, I'll get 500 yards on this. He's telling us. He lets go of the band. The ball flies. It hits the mouth of the cannon tube.
Ouch.
Shoots one hops him right back into his ball sack.
Ouch.
He starts rolling around on the ground. Oh, my God, guys. Oh, my God. He goes, I'm gonna finish the hole out. I'll finish the hole, guys. So we get him, we put him in the cart. He goes, well, maybe, guys.
Maybe not.
I'm going to take this hole off. Yeah, I'll just take this hole off and I'll meet you guys on the next.
You look a little pale, Fred.
Yeah. Then we get to the next hole. He goes, guys, whoo. He goes, I think I might just head in and wait in the bar for you. I'll wait in the bar for you because, man, I ain't feeling that hot. We eventually get a text from him. You know, 3 hours later, he was rushed to the hospital. His testicle had exploded.
Oh, my God. I bet you he's not feeling well.
Yeah, so to this day,
God,
he's running on one lung.
Wow. Oh, man.
He's joined the Lance Armstrong Club.
Yes.
Wow, one ball left.
Welcome. One ball left.
That's horrific. That's horrific. I think the only thing I can think about the injury, I was caring for a guy about maybe 3 years ago, and he was playing another charity. It always seems to happen at a charity do, you know? And he's in a cart waiting to take off. He's sitting forward in the cart, and he's holding on to the upright where the wind screen is, right? The windshield.
Yeah.
And he's talking to somebody outside the cart to his right, and his pal just floors it, and it jerks him back, and it separates his bicep.
Ouch.
Oh, boy.
It happened in a Friday afternoon, and he was in Texas. He was probably from, I don't know, Oklahoma or something, another state. And his insurance company couldn't get the insurance through for the weekend to have it reattached. And by the Monday, when he finally got the operation, he'd lost about 30% of the muscle in it.
And so
I think he got it all back
eventually,
but, ooh.
That's a bad
ouch.
One. That's a bad one. I mean, you see on Instagram a lot those pictures of those guys doing stupid stuff in the carts, huh?
Oh, where just they run like each other it. Over?
Yeah.
Run each other over and then doing power slides and heading down over the cliff. It can be dangerous out there.
It was actually our pal that we worked with, Nick Galante, the race driver, right? I remember being with him over at a course in Monterey, Black Horse or Bayonet, and he had every key because I think the keys for golf carts are universal, and there's only been about 35 models ever made.
Yep.
So he had the keys to every single one, so he could literally just. But he would take the transformer. Well, it's not a transformer. It's the thing.
Governor.
The governor.
Yeah.
He would take the governor off.
Yeah.
So he and another caddy are flying down the hill, right, on the grass, and of course then he wants to slide it. So he puts the brake and slides it, and it's drifting quite nicely, until it went from grass to cart path.
Oh no!
And the friction caught, and it flipped the cart.
Yeah.
You know, slammed it down. It kind of went 45 degrees up on the roof and came back down, and nobody got hurt.
That's lucky.
Very lucky.
That's lucky. Oh. I actually have a related story. When back to my picking up range balls at Seascape when I was
1955.
So they had the old school Harleys with the handlebar steering mechanism, right?
The three wheeler.
Remember those? Yeah, gas. Three wheeler, gas. So the range, it's like you go a little bit downhill. There's a good little area there where you can pick up a little speed, and then you shoot out to the range, which is kind of, it's like a little funnel, right? So it's pretty slopey hill on the left side of it.
Yeah.
So we used to do that in the wintertime when it was all muddy. We used to gun with no governor, like you said.
Yeah.
We used to rip it down there. We're going pretty fast. We're going like 30. And
probably
just
30.
Just one little crank of that handlebar thing. Foom, 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 foom. Oh, we could do, we're like doing records. Like we do 8 or 9 360s until one day a guy did the same thing. And then he hit the 150 marker. It's a big wood post with a signboard. And he ran into that and just busted up the cart. It got ugly.
You know, that story reminds me of, I was watching this documentary on Evel Knievel, and everybody knows he's the great daredevil of
craziness.
All time. And he was a really avid golfer. And he was at this golf course where there was like a climb up where it has a bunch of switchbacks because you're making this long elevated climb. And he was driving, because he was a Harley Davidson guy, this three-wheeled golf cart.
No,
he's like every day when I climbed up that switchback, there was a section where I go, I can make that jump. And so he goes, one day he goes, I'm going down there. He said, I'm going to do it. And I go, I tell my wife, hang on. I go, tell my wife, hang on. He goes, I took it. Perfect landing.
Really?
I was like, bold move to tell your wife to hang on.
Yeah. She's like, did I have a vote in this?
Yeah. it's often we actually, as caddies, we're always in the back of carts. It can often happen. Have you ever had a situation where you've either been in a car or somewhere else in the course where you nearly lost your life or injured yourself?
Oh, very much so. There's a very famous professional hockey player from America. And he has a good time when he's playing golf. He comes, you know, to play golf in our area quite a bit. We're way at the farthest point of the golf course. I mean, as far away as you can get from the clubhouse. He goes, Justin, do you think I can get all the way back to the clubhouse without taking my foot off the gas? And this is like a shotgun. So we're buckling back at the end of the round. I go, well, let's not try that out. We went all the way back to the clubhouse without him taking his foot off the gas.
Wow.
And it felt like I was riding rodeo. Like, I'm on the back of this cart. And I,
Evel
like,
Knievel.
Whoa.
Look at a car. Whoa.
There's a deep bunker on one of our par threes that's in front of the green. And it's just a hot spot for shots.
Okay.
And I'm caddying for this one gentleman. I mean, 325 to 350 if he weighs an ounce.
Okay.
I mean,
so big fish.
I mean,
big game hunter.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean,
Xander Schauffele, you call.
He hops down in this deep front bunker and he goes. He's slapping around a couple shots in there. Finally gets his fifth onto the green and I go. He goes, hand me the rake. I'm like, oh nice. This guy's rake up his own mess.
Yeah.
I was like, this is nice. Then he grabs a rake. He goes, pull me on out. I'm like, pull you out. And I mean, with individuals who are like elderly or, they're not the best of mobility, you always help them out. They put their foot up and you yank them out with the rake.
Give them a hoist, for sure.
Well, this guy, he puts his foot up on the bunker lip, hands me the rake, and then he puts his other foot on the bunker lip. So I'm trying to support this individual.
Wow. That's a workout.
And I'm pulling him. And I'm pulling him, and I'm thinking, I can't let this guy drop. I cannot let this guy drop. I'm buckling back. Every muscle in my back is split. There's a vein in my forehead. And eventually, the pure will of God, I was able to muscle this man away.
One surge to bring him over the ledge.
That's so funny. It's funny. A lot of players will put their hand out, and usually it's – but then you get – Some sneaky big fish.
Yeah, you gotta dig in sometimes.
Yeah,
sure. Yes.
Absolutely.
Feeling
don't
the
take it for granted because they're actually asking you to lift them out.
For sure.
Not just like a guidance or a little support.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you gotta physically take me out of here, dude. Let's get this straight.
Have you, when you play golf, have you ever worn white pants?
I'm a little too chubby for white pants.
Okay, right.
Oh, so he honors the rule.
He honors the rule.
We're like,
is that a rule?
There's a rule.
Yeah, there's rules.
It's like 160, I think, is what we decided.
So what does your BMI need to be to wear white pants?
I don't know. No, 350 below. I think, what is it, 160 and below?
Yeah, 160, 180 if you're a little taller.
And hips like a female. You have to be,
What about a white belt? Can I wear a white belt?
White belts have to go as well. Sorry.
Come on now.
The only thing you can do is you can wear them together. That's it.
White belt, white pants.
double down.
I'm
glad
down
I learned about that.
Tell me, Kip, have you ever been sacked?
Or,
no.
No, never been sacked.
Yeah, okay. You ever seen a little caddy's been sacked?
Oh, quite a few times.
Okay.
Well,
anything that comes to mind.
Well, there's this one gentleman that we have, works at the course. He's a boisterous...
A caddy.
Caddy.
Okay.
Boisterous and a poor performer, we'll just call him.
Okay.
And so there's a large incline on a part of the golf course where, you need to give direct direction to an individual to where their sight line will be.
Okay. And so you stand on the hill and...
Stand on the hill and you tell him where to go. And this guy is going, oh, Mary, here. Mary, no, Judy, wait. And the guys in my group have been hearing this guy just yell BS the whole day. They go, find me a marshal. I'm complaining about this guy. So this marshal pulls up. My player runs over to him like, I've been listening to this caddy's mouth for six holes. He goes, I can't handle this anymore. Marshal goes, you would not believe it. He goes, the group ahead of him just complained about him also.
are you sure it wasn't Wee Neil with his big voice?
Loud guy with a microphone.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That wasn't Wee Neil. No, I'm not. Yeah,
I think
a little more subtle on the golf course, Gordon.
I think I said to you, I've only been sacked a couple of times, two or three times, but it was nothing to do with performance. Maybe the first time, very young, difficult character. The second time, just clash of personalities. Nothing to do with. I stuck the somebody'd hold a putt and I put a wedge inside the hole and flicked it up and then hit the ball over my head with, and the guy caught it, and he said, "Nice one." I went, "Oh, thank you."
Yeah.
Not realizing that it was sarcasm. Yeah. I thought he was actually praising me for the skill. And then he says, "Well, you're not in Scotland anymore." I went, "Oh, are we not? I didn't realize that."
No, thanks for the info.
And he says, "You know, in the PGA Tour, you get a $500 fine for that."
Wow.
I says, "Oh, yeah, well, we ain't on the PGA Tour." You know, I threw it back. And then, of course, from there on, that was the fifth hole. The friction was there. So, but I think it's really bad. If you have another caddy, you'll sometimes have a talker. And the other player or your player will come up and say, "Can you have a word?" That's the most. I hate that. Because then you're going to go, Hey, Neil. You got to watch this guy here. He's a bit of a dick, you know. Yeah. And, you know, you need to watch yourself. That's bad, right?
Yeah.
To get sacked, to have somebody complain from a different group about your caddy.
I think I know the guy he's talking about.
Uh-huh.
I think I told this story last year. That was the. I think it's the same guy that. By the third hole, three balls have got stuck in the tree already. When he was four caddying. Really? In the tree again? Yeah, it was right there, and then I just didn't see it again. I think it's in the tree. Wow, three in three holes. That's amazing.
That's hilarious.
But he said it loudly.
And another one of these stories where I'm caddying, and I'm working two guys off of a golf cart.
Yeah.
And we have this tall, quiet guy, tall, quiet caddy. I mean, really meek, mild individual, and like any information he give to you, he's always whispering it to you.
No.
You know, he's one of those whispering guys.
That definitely wasn't Neil then.
And
poor
so,
Gordon.
And I mean, he meant well, but he was not very good at his job. So we're on a par five, and it shoots up a hill. And he gives this guy a sight line that fires him straight out of bounds. I mean, this guy ropes a second shot. He goes, "Is it on the green?" And I'm up on top of the hill going, "On the green?" It's like you hit it 30 yards out of bounds. And he looks up and he goes, "What? 30 yards out of bounds?" He comes up to me on top of the hill. He finally huffs and puffs up there. He goes, "What do you mean 30 yards out of bounds?" I'm like, "Oh, you're aiming 30 yards out of bounds. You fired a perfect shot right out of bounds."
He hit it straight over his head.
Yeah, and the guy goes to me, he goes, "Hey, see that golf bag you're carrying? You're going to give it to Justin. He's going to work the bags off the cart and this one. You're doing a single."
Ouch. Jeez.
How many holes in?
Six holes in.
Nice.
So it gets a demotion to making me do all the extra work.
Oh,
not the same pay, though.
That's absolute gold. How does that work, you know, at the end? That's so...
Yeah, it's just all awkward, huh? Yeah, that's we had a caddy similar to the guy would like hit it and like smash it, but like miles out of bounds, right? And the caddy he'd always be, "Oh man, you crushed it." He goes, "Oh, really good? Is it you know perfect position or what?" He goes, "No, that's out of bounds, man." "But you crushed it." This guy's like, "Okay, thanks for nothing."
Yeah, well, yeah, I hit it solid.
One of the questions we had last week was about corporate golf. Are you, as a caddy, are you a fan of corporate golf?
Absolutely hate it.
Absolutely. No positives whatsoever?
No. Nope. Long rounds, really poor play, and it's a gamble on the money you're making.
Okay, that's fair enough. Another caddy contacted me after listening to last week's podcast, and that's actually a wee reminder for anyone that has just started to listen to the podcast. You can go back. We started this April of last year, Neil.
Correct.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of episodes. You can get a feel for it if you want. Also, rate, review, and share the podcast. There's the plug.
Mm.
Carrie texts me last week, and he tells me... Now, this guy, he's not shy when it comes to the all-you-can-eat buffet, by the way. He loves corporate golf. And he's telling me this story about another caddy. This is what's wonderful that the caddy world is like, "Oh, yeah, this happened to this other guy." So he tells me that they do a corporate job, and, of course, they're just filling their pockets, right? This is classic, you know, tuna sandwiches, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, the bib.
Yeah,
the bib is full.
The bib's full.
Sometimes I feel like a peanut vendor out there. "Hey, get your snacks here. Hey, hot snacks. Hey, here we go. Hots and snacks."
So this guy says, "Oh, yeah, you want to see now Pete. You know, Pete came into work, and he starts chowing down this, you know, tuna hoagie. You know, just tuna sandwich." But I says, "Where'd you get that?" He says, "Oh, that was from the corporate group, you know." And he says, "What, the one last week?" And he said, yeah, yeah. He goes, what is that? He says, is it still okay? He went, yeah, well, I put it in the freezer.
Wow.
So he was hawking sandwiches, putting them in the freezer, bringing them out, then eating them the following week.
Oh, he probably had a bad tummy at some point.
Have I ever told you guys about noodle salad?
No, please. Well, oh, wow, this is
I refer to this guy, a corporate group. Corporate I refer group, to this okay. guy forever as Noodle Salad.
Okay.
he's a caddy. We have this corporate group out there. And they have these box lunches. You know, you have a roast beef or a nice. Turkey sandwich. You have a little brownie or a cookie, an apple. And they had this noodle salad with the little spinny noodles. What are those called? Fusilli.
Fusilli.
Okay. Fusilli.
So this fusilli. And they had like a vinaigrette on it and some cucumbers. Delicious.
I like those.
Yeah. So this guy, like the guy's like, hey, man, you want my box lunch? And noodle salad goes, yeah, I'd love to have that box lunch. So he's eating it, and he's eating this noodle salad. He goes, man, this noodle salad is great.
Off the charts.
I'm like, oh, well, that's great. No, by the next hole, he's looking in the garbage cans to see who threw out the box lunches, if there's any leftover noodle salad. So every hole we're going by, and this guy's that's looking pretty... for noodle salad. In the garbage cans, and on one of the holes we have like a large garbage can because there's a lot of birds that come in, and the food is kind of popular in that location because it slows down, so there's a larger garbage can there, so you know you could fill it up with more refuse. So he takes the top off the large garbage can, and I'm not lying. His whole upper body was in the garbage can looking for noodle salad.
Wow.
And then his player comes up to me and goes, Justin. He's like, should I have to buy him a sandwich or something? I'm like, man, just let him go.
Oh, my
God.
My
old noodle salad.
Oh, jeez. That's so funny.
He had the itch.
Oh, that's so
he needed some noodle salad, dude.
I guess so.
He needs some noodle salad.
I feel as if we're going to have to wrap this section up because, time-wise, tell me before, to finish it off, give me one of your favorite stories, right? Or what, you, someone else, whatever, caddying.
Well, my favorite story of all my time caddying, all these 14 years, is the Dutch Prince.
The Dutch Prince, okay.
My rookie year, wet behind the ears, the caddy master comes up, he goes, there's a single on the box for you right now. Let's go. I mean, I maybe have 20 loops under my belt. I'm like, okay, I run down there and I meet this guy. He's wearing a plaid sports coat, yellow lens shooting glasses, a bucket hat, and some polyester pants.
Looking the part.
Yeah, I'm like, I look at this guy, I'm like, oh.
Holy Lord. I'm like,
hello, sir, where are your clubs at? And he goes, over there on the wall. And he points at this bag. This bag is still wrapped in plastic. It looks like he went to a Walmart, Kmart, big box store, and just bought a set of golf clubs and brought them to the golf course. So I'm like, this is your bag? He's like, yeah, those are them right there.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, great. So I start unwrapping the plastic on the whole entire bag and each golf club. He goes, hey, man, don't worry about that stuff right now. He goes, you know where I can get some beers? I'm like, get some beers? Yeah, I was like, yeah, well, the restaurant right over there has beers in it. He goes, hands me 100. He goes, go on over there and just get me some beers. Let's worry about that right now.
Okay.
Like, so I run over there, I'm like, I'm in the restaurant. I'm going, I don't even know what kind of beer this guy drinks. So I'm like, here's a Modelo, a Corona, a couple of Budweisers. I just make a mix and match for the guy.
Nice.
So I hit the tee box. And,
selection box.
Yeah, so I hit the tee box and we
you guys carting it or are you
carrying?
No,
we're walking.
All right.
So we're walking and then we're paired up with these two gentlemen from out of the country. And they're looking at this interaction between us because it's already mayhem and it's observable.
It's already looking suspicious.
Yes. So they're looking at us. And
very iffy.
They're like, whoa. And then, so the guy gets up there. He grabs a tee, shake, and puts it in the ground. He swings and misses. I'm not exaggerating. 15 times.
Ouch.
And I'm thinking, I'm going,
he's not
man,
a golfer.
I need to grab the bull by the horns here and take control of the situation. I go, hey, have you ever just tried throwing it? Why don't you just throw it right off the tee? We'll just play it from where you throw it.
You got a good arm?
So he grabs the ball. He winds back like he's Nolan Ryan trying to finish the no-hitter for the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
The thing is, he fires through, the ball catches in his sleeve, flies backwards 20 yards, and goes onto the blue tee box. I'm going, oh, my God. At this point, the out of country guys are complaining. They're like, I'm not playing golf with this guy.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's a mess. So the pro shop's like, just go yeah. to get this guy moving.
Yeah.
So I grab his ball, throw him down at 100-yard post. I'm like, hey, let's just play in from here on the first hole.
Yep.
So he slaps it around. He gets to the first green. And then he goes to me, he goes, hey, I always wanted to be a caddy. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. He goes, you know what we're going to do? I'm going to caddy. You're going to play golf today.
Nice.
He goes, hey, give me that thing you're wearing. I'm like, hey, man. Like, you got to remember, I'm 20 loops into my career as a caddy. Yeah. It's like, I don't know what the protocol is here. I'm like, hey, I don't know about this. He goes, give me that bib. I'm caddying. You're playing golf.
He's like, I want to sell some snacks.
So by the second hole, I'm playing golf. He's wearing the bib. Oh, he's carrying the bag and a six-pack of beer.
Awesome.
So I fire a tee ball off, you know, 250 straight down the middle on the second hole, like normal.
Yeah.
And then, sure. You know, I
slap it in.
I end up getting into a greenside bunker on the second hole. And I get in there. I, you know, hit a little shot onto the green. And he goes, I go to grab the rake. He goes, no, no, no. He goes, I'm the caddy. I do it all.
Wow.
I'm like,
full service.
So I grab him. The thing is, the guy is so drunk at this point. He's just flopping around. He grabs it. He's trying to rake. He falls down on his back.
Ouch.
So he's
still holding the beers.
Well, he's got the beers and is tucked in his arm, the golf rake, and he's just rolling around in this bunker. So I'm like, I got to pull him. I'm like, hey, man, you got to get up, man. We're going to get in trouble here. So I get him up on the bunker. To rake it up.
And you're getting my bib dirty too.
And then we get to the third hole. Before you know it, we're being intersected by somebody coming out of the pro shop going, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And the guy pulls up and he goes, whoa, 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 whoa. What is going on here? He goes, you doing all right today there, sir? He goes, I'm doing great. It's been my dream. I always become a caddy. I'm caddying today. This guy's playing golf. He goes, well, you got to let us know before you go out that
calling an audible.
Yeah, you want the guy, you want a caddy, and you want this guy to play golf. He goes, I paid my money, I'm caddying, this guy's playing.
Nice.
The guy just goes, well, whatever, you paid your
money.
You're the guest. You're the guest.
Yeah.
So we dink and dunk around for the next 3, 4, 5 holes. And we get out to the sixth hole, and at this time, my time with this individual feels like years.
Yeah.
More than like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, take a look around you. I mean, this is golf. This is the course. I think we've seen about everything you can see here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the wonderment of where we're at. And he goes, sounds great. Let's go back to my room and get drunk. And I'm like,
okay. I guess. I can do that.
So we hop on back of a Marshall's cart. We fly back to his room. He's staying in the high-end suites since he is a Dutch prince after, you know,
yeah.
you know, 10th removed from the throne. And so he's all hammered, and he's sitting on the little couch in there, and I'm sitting on the edge of the bed, and we're drinking drinks, and he goes, hey, got to ask you, you want to take a round with the wife? And I'm like,
holy mackerel.
I'm like, what's
whoa,
that?
He goes, time out.
He's like, yeah, take a round with the wife. She's coming back from the spa here in a little bit. I mean, we got to know each other today. I like you. You're a good guy. And I'm like, oh. I was like, I don't know about that.
20 loops in.
I mean, I'm not lying. 30 seconds later, the guy passes out, cigarette burning in his hand, you know, Heineken in between his legs.
Yeah.
I grabbed that cigarette butt, all gently put it out in the bottle that's in between his legs, and I walked out the door, and that's the story.
Wow.
The Dutch Prince.
Wow. That's brilliant.
Dutch Prince.
Outstanding.
Outstanding.
Sounds like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, it's brilliant. That is so good. Beautiful. We're going to move on to wrap things up with our notable mentions and a look at the mailbag. Four! So sadly, we come to the end part of another wonderful podcast, really entertaining. Kip, as always, we give away a free hat. Have you chosen from the online store?
Yeah, sure have.
What do you have?
I'm going with the red, white, and blue scratch drinker.
Oh, how appropriate. Very nice. Well, yeah, if
doesn't
you go,
suit you.
He's more of a +6, +7. But, you know, scratch drinker. Who wants to boast? Glorifieddonkey.com, if you go to the online store, we'll probably do the 20% off all hats all the way through May and June. So if you check that out. As I say, YouTube channel, myself and Neil, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to start doing some tutorials, you know, teaching duck golfers how to improve.
Yeah, you want to learn how to hit a snap hook, you came to the right guy.
watch Peyton Manning.
You know? Yeah. More lift!
So yeah, get YouTube channel, Glorified Donkey. As I said earlier, please rate, review, share the podcast. We do have some sponsors coming. I've been working very hard this past week, and we have some stuff coming. Some really good discounts for our users. Clothing, shoes, etc. So that's going to be interesting.
Got to take care of our listeners.
We have to look at the mailbag, first of all. I want to say hello to Mo Delgado, right? And he sent me a text, and he says, the first job from college he ever had was selling beepers. Does that ring a bell, Neil? Remember we mentioned beepers?
Yeah, way back when. Beeper, yeah.
Previous episode, we were talking about beepers, and he just said, hey, listen, I was first job, 1991.
Wow. Oh, I was going to say, it's hard to believe that ever existed, huh?
That's it. So, hey, Mo, I hope you're well. Do you think we will see more of these TV matches even when things get back to normal? That's from a Vince B in Philadelphia. Boys, I think that was a...
I think successful enough to have another run. They were talking about Tiger Woods, MJ against Mickelson and Curry.
Oh,
no, I would like to watch that.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one.
Okay.
Why not?
Who wins?
I'd definitely take Phil and Curry.
Phil and Curry.
I think that team would be a little stronger.
Okay. Next question we had in, I love Neil and think he is very funny. Funny looking. However, on the last podcast, he refers to Seminole as a square, then said it's a mile by half mile. Wouldn't that be a rectangle? That's from Carl C. in Olney, Maryland.
Well, it's not from Big Tony. You know, I said it was squarish in nature. So maybe it was a rhomboid or a trapezoid or a quadrangle. I'm not sure. But
a rhomboid.
A rhomboid.
I think it's a rhomboid.
A quadrangle?
I think it looked angular to me in some nature.
Yeah. Thank you, Carl, for your question. Yeah. Talking about Big Tony, the reigning Bell End champion, Bell End of the Week.
Oh, he owns it.
He's got like a month, 6 weeks of it. He's started a new YouTube channel himself. He's the Trivia King. When we eventually get him on, myself and Neil, after we complete Caddy Jeopardy, myself and Neil will play against the guests. That'll be the next part. Check out CCW Trivia on YouTube. That's Big Tony. It's some fun quizzes, keep you entertained. We'll move on. Last question. What do caddies wear underneath those white jumpsuits? That's from a Page R in Florida.
There's a wide variety of things worn under that jumpsuit.
Apart from noodle salad and tuna sandwiches, what do they wear, Kip?
Well, there's a variety of sizes and forms.
Okay.
Under that jumpsuit. I mean... You can run the bare-chested Steve Williams from the Masters.
Absolutely.
Which has been seen many a times.
You got to throw in maybe a little gold chain there if you're going to pull that one off.
A gold chain is a nice touch.
You know.
I mean, I've never seen it most of the time in a serious nature. Guys wear board shorts, something comfortable, loose, light, T-shirts, and... that's what's most going.
Maybe
most
if it's really hot, they go commando.
Yeah.
Yes. Then you're asking for a... caddy crack though.
When I caddied in South Carolina, I wore a sponge underneath the white jumpsuit.
Nice.
So, you know, got to catch all the moisture. That's everything for just now. I hope I haven't forgotten anything. Thank you for listening. Please continue to support us, YouTube, Instagram, and obviously the Real Life Caddy podcast. Neil, thank you for your time.
Love it. Peace out.
Neil's been playing golf this past week. Next time we'll be talking about him in the course. Hopefully we'll have a video for you. I am playing four times this weekend. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Haven't done it since that guy was selling beepers.
That's going to be scary.
Kip, thank you very much for joining the show. I hope that you will join us in the future.
It was wonderful to be here.
Yeah.
Yes. I hope you start listening as well and share it.
Of course.
Excellent. And for everyone else out there, hope you're all playing golf. Enjoy the podcast, and we'll be back in a week to 10 days.
Sounds good.
I got this little problem. I got the hooking the ball.
Maybe you can help me with my problem on a Saturday night.
Daddy always told me that I seem so strange. Now I'm working at the driving range, looking for love, doing my thing, trying to get the women to show me their swing. Oh, that's
I'm a pro. We're gonna let you play. We're making you a member of the PGA. Couldn't pay the rent. I didn't make the cut. I never understand how I missed that putt.
Oh, life is strange. Dreaming of a touring world.